We have been going through, as I shared in our prayer time, a lot of turmoil in our society. And these past week and a half, there's been many protests. I've read that the biggest ones were actually yesterday. And thankfully, it seems that they have taken a more peaceful turn. But we find ourselves in a fairly chaotic situation in terms of race relations and societal relations, and this all under the backdrop of the COVID-19 virus. Epidemiologists are concerned that perhaps all of these protests may actually cause a spike in infections. It seemed that in places like my home state of Wisconsin, when they loosened up their restrictions and began meeting for various gatherings and opening up restaurants and places to meet, that there was a spike in infection. So hopefully, since these were outdoor events, we won't have the same caseload in some of these other places, but it's something to be concerned about, and it's just something that's part of this mix of difficulties that we've been going through. In addition to this, I don't know how much of you have been tracking the weather, but we have a large tropical storm, Cristobal, that is heading to the Louisiana coast, but it will actually hit even harder into Mississippi and Florida. And they said it could actually dump about a foot of rain. This is our third named storm of the season, and I'm not even sure we're quite in the season yet. So it looks like we are going to be taking a heavy toll in terms of weather. And so when we just reflect on a lot of the things that are going on, we just see that whether it's in our environment or in our society or governments, we are going and undergoing a lot of chaos, a lot of uncertainty. And in fact, it seems these would even be things that point to the coming of the end of times. And thankfully, we can have a blessed hope of Jesus, our Savior, who will ultimately rule and reign and make things right. But in the meantime, as we await for the coming of our Lord, how should we live out our faith in a chaotic world? I don't think anyone can dismiss the fact that we are living in a chaotic world, but how do we live out our lives in the midst of everything that's going on? And we'll be talking about this, and we're doing so in the context of another Christian celebration. Over these past weeks, we have been celebrating the season of Pentecost. And last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit onto the church. In fact, the birthday of the church. And we talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he empowers us to live that we may serve him and do his will. And today is the celebration of Trinity Sunday. And I think this is an important observance for believers because it is, in fact, what separates us from any other religion. In fact, it's what separates us from various cults like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, in the fact that we believe in one God who is made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we reflect on the Trinity, I think partly it helps us to think and reflect theologically on who God is and how he works in the world. And we can see by his character that I think God really does have a desire to make a difference in the world, that in fact, God does lament over the happenings in the world and has a desire to make a change. And we all know the famous verse that our Father, that God our Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we have a Father who loves us, who loves the world so much that he gave his only Son. And so I think when God looks out over the world, his response is love. And as we turn to Jesus, we reflect on the passage in Matthew 9 when he, Jesus, saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And as Jesus observed the crowds that were following him and seeking maybe witness the miracles that he had been performing, maybe they wanted to hear his teachings, he looked out upon them and he had compassion. And I think similarly, when Jesus looks out on our world today, with the devastation of the virus, with people being locked in, with others being so frustrated that even in the midst of the epidemic, of the pandemic, they still will risk themselves in order to make a change. I think in all of this context, Jesus has compassion. And similarly, the Holy Spirit, we see that we can indeed grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit is also grieved at the situation. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And I think the Holy Spirit does grieve, and we can indeed reflect on a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves and has compassion for the world and what's going on in it, and our place in the world and our lives as we seek to navigate personally and as a church everything that's going on, making sense of the chaos, working through the chaos. And our passage today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 to 14. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The first thing that we see in this passage is that we're called to live a fruit-filled life. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice." And so this is actually one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a derivative, I would say, of the fruit of the Spirit. And actually, when we look at this passage, and we'll kind of go through each of these different fruit, but we see here rejoice, we see joy, we see peace, we see love. And these are all fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And so that whole list of the fruit of the Spirit isn't listed in this passage, but we see the three prominent ones, love, joy, and peace, that are laid out by the Apostle Paul. And his desire, as he concludes these letters to the Corinthians, is that his people live out the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, in our lives, that we may experience joy, that we may experience love, that we may experience peace. And so the first thing that we see here is to rejoice, or to experience joy, to live out joy, to proclaim a joy as we worship our Lord and our God. And in Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul couldn't have said it more clearly. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And when we see this word always, I think what it comes to mind is the fact that our joy, our ability to rejoice isn't because of circumstances. In fact, it's in spite of circumstances. No matter what we're going through, we can acknowledge the grace of God in our lives, and we can rejoice, that we can praise Him, and that we can experience His working and outpouring of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I like what great pastor and theologian Charles Haddon Spurgeon has to say about this. He says, believers are not dependent upon circumstances. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered for them by their Lord. In the midst of chaotic times, we can draw closer to our Lord, because our life and our ability to rejoice and experience joy isn't dependent upon what's going on around us. It's not dependent on living a secure, happy, serene life. Our joy comes from who we are in the Lord. Our joy comes from whose we are. And our joy comes from the fact that Jesus poured out His grace upon us in living and in dying for our sins. So in all of these things, in spite of what we're going through, we can rejoice. As we move on, we see another fruit of the Spirit is that of peace. And the Apostle Paul is urging the Corinthian church to strive for full restoration, to live in peace, and that the God of love and peace will be with you. And so it is the desire of Paul that the people of God experience God's shalom, God's peace in their life, a peace that only God can provide. And we see that in John 14:27, when Jesus proclaimed, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In fact, Jesus left us His peace. Jesus wanted us to experience His peace. But He wanted us to experience not only His peace in our lives, personally, but He also desires that we live out our peace amongst one another. He urged the Corinthians to live and relate to each other and seek for a full restoration. And if you know anything about the Corinthian church, you know that it was a dynamic church. It was a church that utilized the full giftings of God. It was a church that that really sought the Spirit of God. But it was also a church with a lot of problems, a lot of arguments. They pretty much argued over everything. They argued over meat, and if someone can eat meat or shouldn't eat meat, whether it's been offered to idols. And they argued about drink, and they argued about relationships with one another, and the list goes on and on. And the Apostle Paul is urging them to be restored, to seek peace amongst one another. One of the things that I really appreciate about our church, especially in leadership, is that we strive for consensus. Doesn't necessarily mean that we agree on everything, but what we seek to do, especially in leadership and on our board and our different committees, is that we have a desire that people can fully give their opinions and to state what they think and what they feel. And then we seek to come to a consensus. In our bylaws, we can vote. We can, if there's, say, 10 and there's one that hesitates on a decision, we could take a vote and make it 9-1 and we can move forward. But for the most part, we try not to do that. We try to get everyone on board so that we can move forward in a unified manner. And so we seek to to talk through things and to work through issues. And I'd say for the most part, we do end up making decisions that we can all agree upon. And sometimes it might mean that someone humbles themselves and they say, well, I might not necessarily agree with this, but I'm going to go along with the majority. In other times, maybe the majority will make concessions in order to move forward so that we, again, we can have unity in our church body and in moving forward. And I think the key here is that we discuss and that we work through, maybe even argue at times, our different opinions, but nonetheless, we still seek the mind of Christ and we still seek a unity of purpose. And God wishes that of leadership, but he wishes that of our whole church, that we live and dwell in unity. And in fact, when we live in peace, we can be an example. We can be that city on a hill to our world that is in so need of reconciliation and of peace in their lives. And finally, we see love. So we see joy and we see peace and we see the fruit of love. And the God of love will be with you. And greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people have sent their greetings. And so God desires that we live out a life of love, that we love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And part of this is expressing our concern with each other verbally. All God's people send their greetings. Now, when I read this, I actually think about my home state of Wisconsin. People from Wisconsin, one of the things, especially a parting gesture, it's not a greeting, a parting farewell. A very typical parting would be say hi. Say hi to your parents for me. Say hi to your brother for me. Say hi to your neighbor for me. It's just something that we always like to do in Wisconsin. I know that it happens here, but it's especially prominent in Wisconsin. And we see here that all God's people send their greetings, that one of the things that we can do to express love one another is to greet them and to show them concern. And that's what we try to do even as a church, as we did greeting cards to patients and to staff at the hospital. And I thank everyone who was able to participate in that. And you really did make a difference in the lives of those patients and those that are serving on the front lines as medical providers. And so we verbally seek to express God's love towards one another, but we also seek to do it in tangible ways. And when the Apostle Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss, he's not necessarily prescribing that through all time and cultures, we need to be kissing one another. I know that in the Chinese context, there seems to be, from my observation, less touchy-feeliness, less physical contact, especially maybe in families, but even in the church context. I grew up with my mom's side of the family is Irish, and the Irish are very touchy-feely. And so we're kissing our aunts and we're hugging our cousins, and there's just a lot of touchy-feeliness going on. So I'm not saying that we need to be greeting one another with a holy kiss, but how can we express our love towards each other in a tangible way? I think that's the point. And I would say that this will become especially challenging in our current context. I was reading an article and actually was listening to a podcast where they were discussing this topic. Is COVID-19 the end of the handshake as we know it? And so for our church, we greet each other often in the beginning of the service, and we may say hi, and sometimes we'll shake each other's hands. But what does this mean for the handshake now that we've been in a pandemic and now that people are concerned with germs? Some people aren't very touchy-feely and are very glad that the handshake might go away. And so we've discussed, and some people will do elbow bumps, but then others are like, well, even elbow bumps is touching and that could cause germs to spread. Others would say, well, maybe we can salute each other in some way. So I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen going forward, but nonetheless, at some point we will be together. And hopefully we can continue to somehow express our love and care and concern for one another, because that's what God is calling us to do. And as we seek to live out the fruit-filled life, seeking to live out love and joy and peace and the rest, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, how do we do that? Well, we do so because we're empowered by the triune God. And the Apostle Paul concludes his letter to the Corinthians, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." These are very familiar words, I think, to those of us in our church, because this is how I end our service every week. It's known as a benediction or a blessing upon the people of God. There are a number of benedictions in the Bible, but this is one that I like to use because it really encapsulates not only the nature of God in the Trinity, in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but also various characteristics of each of the members of the Trinity. And so we first see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a verse that comes to mind is Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things," Paul writes, "through Christ who strengthens me." When Paul writes this, oftentimes people interpret it as that God can help us do anything. He can help us to achieve our wildest dreams. Maybe our dream is to finish a marathon or to climb a mountain or to jump out of a plane. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, I'm not saying that God can't give us strength in all of these endeavors that we may try to live out. But when you actually look at the context of Philippians 4, we see that the Apostle Paul was in difficult circumstances in his life as he was seeking to serve God. And he told the Philippian church that he had learned to be content in everything. In all things, he knew contentment of God. And though he could praise God and acknowledge that he had times of plenty, he also could praise God and he knew and experienced times of want. But whether it was plenty or whether it was his need, he realized that he could continue to serve God because "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So as we seek to serve the Lord, as we seek to do his will in our lives, we can rely on the grace of Christ, that he can indeed help us to do all things through him who strengthens us. Secondly, we see the love of God. And of course, we've already touched on this in the famous passage of John 3:16, but we see this in countless other passages of the Bible, and Romans 5:8 is another. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has a tremendous love for the world, for humanity, and for us, his people. And he demonstrates his love very tangibly in giving his son, Jesus Christ, to live for us, to dwell on the earth, to fulfill all righteousness, but in fact, to die for us, that we may experience the forgiveness of sins. And so this is just a tremendous example of the love the Father has for us. And we are called as well to love each other and to love the world as God so loves the world, that we may indeed experience and live out his compassion and his concern and his desire that the world be reconciled to him, and that the world, that humanity be reconciled to one another, whether it be across racial divisions or gender divisions or economic disparity. God wants us to live out his love as we seek to express that by sharing the gospel, the good news that Jesus indeed came to live and to die, that we may become his children, that we may live for him. And finally, we are empowered through the Trinity by the Holy Spirit. And we discussed this a little bit last week, but in John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." We can thank the Lord and be so appreciative of the fact that he gives us the helper, the Holy Spirit, who is in fellowship with us, who is a person. I mean, a lot of people tend to think of the Holy Spirit maybe as a force, but impersonal in some way, but in fact, the Holy Spirit has been sent to live in us, to dwell in us, to fellowship with us, to teach us, to guide us, to convict us. All of these things are what we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. And so we're called to live out a empowered, fulfilled life through indeed the power of the Spirit in our lives. And so we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all working together as one God, but all in their separate ways, empowering us that we may live a Spirit-filled life, a fruit-filled life for him. So we come back to the question that I posed earlier. How should we live out? How should you live out your faith in a chaotic world? Well, I would encourage us to think through this passage, to think through this fruit of the Spirit, to think through love, joy, and peace. And maybe there's a particular area that maybe ask God to reveal to you what area that you may need to work on. Maybe you need to work on love. We listened in the youth group this past week to the Christian recording artist Lecrae, and he gave a response to the this whole racial divide that's happening in the world. And one of the things he said that, you know, if you don't feel anything, if you don't feel any compassion, any sense of the need for justice in the George Floyd situation, maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to ask God to break your heart. And so maybe we don't feel love in this situation, or maybe we realize that there's some in our lives, maybe family, maybe friends or acquaintances that we need to love more, and that may be something that we might identify in our life as a need. Or maybe we realize that in the midst of this whole chaotic situation due to the virus, that we're not and the racial situation, that we're not experiencing God's joy. We're not coming to him and rejoicing in the Lord always. Or perhaps we're not experiencing God's peace in our lives as we know that we have and that we should. And so identify maybe an issue or an area in your life, and then seek to apply that to help that you can receive from God through one of the persons of the Trinity. And so perhaps if we need to, if our hearts need to be broken, or we need to express love to someone in a tangible way, we think of the Father and we think of his love for us. And we ask that God can help us to experience the love that indeed he has for people and for the world. Or perhaps we need peace in our life. And so then we may come to the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit that he gives us the peace, his peace that surpasses all understanding. Or maybe we lack joy, and we come to our Lord Jesus, and we ask indeed that we can rejoice, that he gives us the power to rejoice in the Lord always. And so in a sense, I want you to mix and match. Pick a fruit, and then pick a member of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and ask that person of the Trinity to help you to apply and to live out God's fruitfulness in our lives, in your life. And I'd like to conclude with this verse of encouragement from 2 Corinthians 5:17. I think in a sense, Corinthians as a whole, maybe 2 Corinthians in particular, can really be encapsulated by these words of Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And so when we come to Christ, we become new creations. We experience life in a new way. God touches our hearts. And he desires that we live out our lives by experiencing and by exemplifying and living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives through the power of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so may each of us be encouraged, may you be encouraged to live out the new life in Christ in your own life, but also that we may seek to do that as a community of the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your grace and your love, and indeed we can seek you as your people, Lord, in a chaotic world, that you desire that we live out the fruit of the Spirit, that we indeed be the city on a hill, be the example to people who lack peace, to indeed seek peace not only in our lives but amongst each other. And so, Father, give us the strength as we worship you, as we rely on and are empowered by our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In your name, amen.